You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So yesterday we were taking a look at the different kinds of structures that you might find from an offshore perspective if you're coming back into the country and what you need to remember around those things. And today I thought we'd take a look at things from a different perspective. We're going to be taking a look at trusts and particularly the tax side of things where it relates to trust. There have been a lot of changes that have come through by way of things like us being grey-listed and the introduction of things like the Ultimate Beneficial Ownership Registry. And I thought we'd take a look at how this affects the trust environment and what you need to know where it relates to the South African Revenue Services. With that in mind, I'm joined on the line by a trust specialist within the trust product segment at the South African Revenue Services, Lana Pinkham, to take a look at this and see if we can get our heads around it. Good evening, Lana. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding a trust in the eyes of SARS. How does SARS see trusts, and how is it different from, say, an individual taxpayer, a company taxpayer? What are some of the differences there?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Indeed, a very important question. SARS sees a trust as a very important entity. It's seen as a person, not a natural person, but it is a person, and it places a lot of emphasis on trust because they are used to move money around. So there's, especially now with the grey listing, more focus on trust than ever before.
Lana, when we look at trust, there's obviously different types of vehicles and structures and setups and how people actually put trusts together. Is there a difference between a local trust and an offshore trust? I mean, we understand, of course, that from an offshore perspective, individuals are often taxed on worldwide income. And I wonder, from a trust perspective, does SARS recognize an offshore trust?
SARS definitely recognise an offshore trust. It depends whether they've got a source income in South Africa. If they've got a source income in South Africa, they must register for tax in South Africa. So a South African trust is a resident in South Africa, and they all trusts have to be registered for income tax in South Africa.
Lana, what about the beneficiaries? What if the trust sits outside of South Africa, but the beneficiaries sit inside South Africa?
That's also a very good question. Since the beneficiaries is inside South Africa, they are residents and they must pay tax on any amounts they receive.
Receive from the trust, that is?
Yes, that because this, they receive, they are taxed on their worldwide income, so they will be taxed on the income they receive.
Right. So in that case, the offshore trust might be considered an offshore entity, but the individuals benefiting from that trust are considered to be local taxpayers. That makes sense. Lana, speaking of beneficiaries, there was an introduction of the Ultimate Beneficial Owners Registry, and that was obviously as a result of the grey listing that South Africa was placed on by the Financial Action Task Force. This was one of the measures kind of put in place, not just from a trust perspective, but from a company and an individual perspective, just to provide more transparency and clarity around companies in particular and the ownership of companies. Where it relates to trusts, how does that look? How is that different from, say, a private company where it comes to the beneficial ownership registry?
Also a good question. Thank you very much. The beneficial owners are the warm bodies behind the trust. And that can be the trustees, the beneficiaries, the donors, the protectors, or the founders. And it's actually the ultimate, the person that ultimately benefit from the proceeds of a trust or the income of a trust or the capital of a trust, irrespective of whether it's capital or income, it's the persons that ultimately benefit from these proceeds.
Lana, now that we've got the understanding out the way of the different kinds of trusts and the setups and all of that, I want to look at the activities of the trust. What if I had a trust from many years ago, or I'm part of a family trust that has been ongoing for a long period of time? Does that trust get treated differently? And are we in the realm, or can we dip into the realm of active versus passive trusts and how trusts actually function? How do you guys see it from a SARS perspective?
Okay, if you have a trust from, say, 20 years back and it has not yet registered as such, we recommend you register as soon as possible, like for the filing season that ends on the 20th of January, and make sure you submit accurate tax returns and pay the correct amount of tax. In the public notice every year, it indicates the due dates to submit tax returns, and you specifically ask when is a trust passive, when we see a trust passive or active. We don't usually use the word dormant trust, we use passive and active trusts. A passive trust are the trusts that's actually got no transactions during the year, and they might have assets, but they haven't traded during the year and they are inactive. Where an active trust or the rest of the trusts, and all trusts, irrespective whether they're passive or active, must submit tax returns. There's a shorter version of an ITR 12T tax return. When you complete the wizard, you can request a passive trust, and then, or you indicate you've got a passive trust, and then you will submit a shortened version of a trust return.
Lana, speaking of the tax side of it, lots in the past we've known that trusts are taxed at a slightly different tax rate. I mean, we know the corporate tax rate, we know that the individuals are taxed on a marginal sliding scale, and there's a whole tax table for that. How are trusts taxed in the eyes of SARS, and is it different for, say, older trusts, newer trusts, active trusts, passive trusts? What is the tax rate related to trusts?
Okay, the tax rate is 45%, and except if it's a special trust, then different rates according to the gliding scale might be applicable, but in general it's 45%. But very important, because of a conduit pipe principle, it is possible that vestings will be taxed in the beneficiary's hands. And then, for example, if a beneficiary is an individual, then they will be taxed on individual scales.
Lana, you mentioned the assets and the activities of the trust. I want to go back to that for a quick second. You mentioned that a trust
Sure.
can hold assets, but if it hasn't transacted, then it might be considered passive. When we look at the word transact in this context, are we referring to the trusts or the trustees actively going out and entering into economic transactions, or are we talking about things like dividends? What do you define as a trust having transacted?
Okay, let me give you an example. If it's, for example, a holiday home, and the family goes once a year to the holiday home or twice a year, they don't rent out the property, they don't have any income or expenses, then it will be a passive trust. But if there's any transaction, even one transaction, that will be seen as an active trust, and then they must complete the full tax return. So, an active trust, if there's any operations, any activities, and all trusts on that point must have a bank account according to the Trust Property Control Act. So a passive trust, if you look at that side, it should be like a trust that's only got bank charges. There's no activity going on in the bank account. Then they can submit a limited tax return.
Lana, what about new trusts? We've kind of touched on the old trusts and having those trusts in place. What if someone is out there thinking, I want to set up a trust and I want to have the most efficient kind of tax structure between whether it's my business, my personal capacity, the trust, all of that. Obviously, sitting down with a tax practitioner is the first step in that respect. Can I register a trust, or must it be registered via the tax practitioner?
Okay, to register a trust, according to the standard operating procedures of such, the main trustees appointed by the trust will be responsible to register for income tax at SARS. And you can do that by either going to a branch or on the trust website. You have to take with, if you go to a branch, all the required documents. And on the SARS website, there's a SARS online querying system that's requesting specific documents, and that's where you register. So in general, it's the main trustee that's appointed by the trust that SARS, in the standard operating procedures, requires to register the trust.
That trustee, Lana, from a obligation perspective, especially from a compliance perspective, when we look at things like annual returns that you mentioned, and we look at things like filing season coming around, the responsibilities that sit with that trustee, is it the trust's responsibility to submit its returns and all of that? Or is there a liability that is jointly placed on a trustee to say that this is your trust, you must make sure that you submit the taxes related to it?
Very important question. The trustees are the trust representative taxpayer. And that means that each trustee is jointly liable in their personal capacity for the trust, for the tax compliance or the non-compliance of a trust, even if they are using an advisor or a tax practitioner. And often family members are appointed as trustees, so they should take note how important it is if they are the trustees that they're also the representative taxpayers, and they need to ensure that the trust comply with all the requirements from SASH. And if it's a bit overwhelming, we recommend they should obtain the services of a tax practitioner.
There you have it, folks. Speak to a tax practitioner about all of your trust-related queries. But hopefully this gives you a bit more insight around how the South African Revenue Services views trusts and how they treat trusts from a tax perspective. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Lana. Thank you so much for the time and for the insights. That's Lana Pinkham, who is a trust specialist in the trust product segment at the South African Revenue Services, joining us to provide a bit more color around the trusts and how SARS sees them.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.